Welcome to Office Hours. We're going to go ahead and get started here. We only have one question in our question chat right now, which is what the dog doing? This is what the dog's doing. I should start like recording these or putting them on Twitch. I never get around to it, and then it's too late, right? I'm like, oh, damn, it's like 5:02. I should really get started. Fruks does a lot of stuff, even on the non-IRL ones. It's like a lot of work to like produce that show. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and move on to a very big question, which is, it's fine. Like, paragraph, fine. Two paragraphs, you're kind of pushing it. Three paragraphs, ooh. Anyway, this is from NeoShadow7366, who says, as a new user, I've been working to learn the primary items that I need to know to show people the potential of Resonate. What kind of tooling or in-app tutorials can we expect in the future to allow for users to learn in-app? I've been working on a personal project that is basically a tutorial world that I can use as an intro to get people interested in the app. I'd really like to see a supported tab on the dash, I'd like to see a supported tab on the dash to the wiki to avoid resolution issues one can get while using the desktop dash tab. Okay, there's like a few questions in there, so let's just try and address each of them in turn. So what kind of tooling or in-app tutorials can we expect to see in the future for users to learn in-app? We have like a ton of ideas, and like I could talk extensively about some of them, but I'm not sure like which ones we'll do and in what order. We want to do more video tutorials, that's for certain. Those can be watched in Resonate with the video player and out of Resonate, of course. It's one of the reasons why there's still like a thing that we intend to do, because like there could be a world where we don't do that, but I think that's kind of like a miss. Other platforms don't do that too. You know, they'll put all their tutorial content inside the platform. You need to do both. Other than that, we do want to get some sort of wiki documentation integration in game. That one will be more for sort of like reference style documentation. When it comes to documentation, there's really like three key types. There's reference, which is I kind of know what I'm doing, but I kind of forget a few steps. I need to sort of, you know, go to the equivalent of a dictionary, and the dictionary will provide what I need. For engineering, there's these things called like pocket notebooks or something, and they've got like tables and formulas in them, etc. Like that's reference material. There's tutorial material, which is like, you know, getting started and learning for it. And then there's sort of guide or more detailed like overview or, you know, detailed, which is all like this particular thing is everything that you know about it. So we've got like a lot of those kind of brewing on the wiki, and we kind of like want to sync them backwards and forwards. There's a GitHub issue for adding the cargo extension to our wiki, which will enable us to sort of automatically import Protoflux nodes and stuff like that. It looks like it's going to work really well. I played around with cargo on the Path of Exile wiki. Was Path of Exile one wiki or the two wiki? No, it was the one wiki because I was playing around with the Pantheon. Anyway, yeah. And then what I also want to see is a bunch of sort of guided tutorials where we use the engine of Resonate itself to deliver the tutorial. Many, many MMCs ago, there was a really good attempt to do that that unfortunately didn't get very far due to limitations with sort of motion capture and playback, as far as I remember. Like, it was really like challenging to get it to work, but it did work for this one video. They had a more sort of like museum approach to a tutorial. You kind of walk through modules, and like a little mascot, I believe it was an actual user of Resonate and one of their avatars, would load in and like, gesture and point and stuff. Feels very museum-esque. I always like seeing those. And the reason is because different people learn in different ways, and we will take a crack at it and we'll call it like official or whatever. But like, if you do like the same thing for other platforms, if you search their content or you go to YouTube and search like tutorial for that or whatever it is, you'll find like hundreds of cases. Like take like any Microsoft technology, for example, they've got their official like documentation for like how to do stuff like in C# or Azure or whatever, but search around, you'll find blogs, you'll find articles, you'll find paid courses. Like the documentation of tutorial space isn't like just our efforts at it, so do keep trying and do continue. There's like a Protoflux Fortress I've been meaning to take a look at, sort of tries to teach Protoflux. as far as I'm aware, and I haven't seen it, so I can't speak authoritarily on it, that's a sort of puzzle game, almost like The Witness or Portal. I think that's really cool too. Like tricking your brain into learning is like great. And then the last part of their question is, I'd really like to see a supported tab on the dash to the wiki. So that would be a tab on the dash that renders the wiki. Yeah. That's something we might do in the future, but like I still don't really know what format or like how documentation will exist in game. And I don't know if like a tab is the best way to do it. I've often thought about like we need some sort of UI and settings to sort of control tabs, particularly if we can have more than one. That would also solve the problem of like, you know, why haven't you removed the migration tab? Our options right now are to like delete the tab or to, you know, build a system where you can turn on and off tabs in settings. I haven't spoken to this Freaks about this yet. I don't know what like his plans for that particular avenue was. I even talked about at another office hours, like maybe turning tabs themselves into facets. You know, like on, I don't know if the iPhones still do it. I'm on Android and have been for a long time, but you know, when you do like a long hold to like reorder stuff on like the earlier Apple devices and like all the app icons do a little wiggle and then you can move them around. Like what if you did that or entered that mode and then all the dash tabs were wiggling and you could drag them around? That might be it. Like that's a more like resonite way of doing it, and it also like helps with the whole like custom tab thing. Like, oh, you want this custom tab instead of it being like the developer has to like write a weird amount of like like flux or component like gobbledygook to sort of inject a new tab into your dash. What if we just had like a drop area on the sort of right or left side of the dash bar when it was in edit mode, and you dropped a square in there and it was like, would you like to add blah, blah, blah? And then you're like, yeah, and it just works. Fruks, I think Fox was talking about an iPhone, but the answer is correct for our UI edit mode. I think we've ran to the end of that question. Oh, no, we've got another one from Neo Shadow here. Have you all started working in preparation for the Steam Frame? There's not really much we can do until we get it in our hands. There might be developer documentation like brewing, but like it's just a lot like faster and more fluid to just like touch the thing whilst you're also touching the SDK. That's really good because like otherwise you have to make assumptions. Like say the SDK says like the Steam Frame will scream hi every 4 seconds down the like communication channel. And you're like, okay, cool. You program that into your like, you know, your big like SDK integration, you know, Resonite like class file or whatever. And then like you actually get the headset and you find out it doesn't say like, hey, every 4 seconds. In fact, it says, hey, intermittently, sometimes 4 seconds, sometimes 3 seconds. Sometimes it says potato. And sometimes it just goes like, bah! And like you haven't coded the like code to handle that. And that's just like a normal part of it as well. The issue with documentation is like much like for us and every other like company, they are not always in sync. So like the hardware team are like screaming probably as fast as they can to like get the thing out. So there might not be enough resources on documentation, or the people that would work on documentation are being repurposed to help get the product out. So like maybe it's out of date, and that's like natural, that happens. But like what's the best substitute for out of date documentation? Slightly out of date documentation and the actual hardware. The one sentence version of that is in Fruks' response, which for the benefit of the recording, I will read. So Fruks says, it's really hard to develop for hardware you don't have because you can't test your code at all. Yeah, exactly what I was saying. We tend to iterate on code, testing it piece by piece as writing it, but for hardware we can't test. We'd have to write a lot and hope that it works, which it probably wouldn't and would fall apart when we try to run it. Yeah, a more practical or like grounded example might be like, we implement the SDK because we don't have the hardware for controller positioning, and then we get it in and we found out, oh whoops, we got the left and right mixed up. Like that's something that easily could happen with like an out of sync documentation and stuff like that. Moving on to Quali's question, I'm hot on the trail of stupid intermittent but debilitating Linux only memory leak in Renderite, which is proving tricky because Renderite doesn't have the nice tracing tools of modern.net. As far as I know, do you know if there's an easy way to sniff, log, and analyze the IPC traffic between Fruks Engine and Renderite? There probably is a good way to do that. I don't know if anyone's done it yet, but speak to the people who are working on custom renderers, because something you could potentially create, and I don't know if you could actually do this, like I have no idea how Renderite works, basically, but you could do like a sort of man-in-the-middle proxy on some of that stuff. That might help you. The other thing to look into as well is like what options are available for debugging Unity applications, because Renderite is essentially like a Unity application. Well, Renderite.unity is, which, you know, that's the Unity, that's Renderite.render. There might be some tools there. Like most of that would like, you know, there would be tooling that we can do. Like on our end, we can use the debug tools in Unity. But there may be some stuff on your end that you can do with the built project. It's also weird because like there is a GitHub issue for this, right? Because if there is a GitHub issue and you do come across something and you're like, ah, I would need this additional information to figure this out, like propose that on the issue, just politely propose it. Like, hey, if you added more logging to this area, I might be able to like help you figure it out more. What you're essentially saying there is, if you had this diagnostic information, I'll do a bunch of work for you. And it's like, absolutely. We'll love to work with you on that. Like we do that sometimes anyway, right? We add additional diagnostic information to stuff and they're like, hey, could you test this again? And it's like, yeah, and you always like, well, not always, but like most people go, sure, we'll test it again. And we get the information we need. It's beautiful. We've got people who are decompiling the render and recompiling it. Yeah, hell yeah. If they're doing that, they should be able to inject some stuff in to figure it out. If you narrow it down to the IPC layer as well, you might be able to just sort of like write a test or do some exploration with the open source components of the IPC layer, which is the cloud toy, cloud. You know what it is. For those who don't, maybe someone could grab a link. I'm a little bit indisposed with a dog right now. There we go. Cloud toid interprocess. Yes, that's the library we use. I do believe parts of that library are compiled OS specifically. I'm not entirely sure. I've been avoiding looking at it because I know that like once I start looking at that library, it's going to be like 5 plus hours of like rummaging through it to understand it. Like I can read the documentation, of course, but to like really understand it, I'm going to have to read through the source. That's what I ultimately did with Compressinator as well. Like I was like, I can't like restart Resonite 500 times to figure this out. So I narrowed it down to Compressinator and I'm like, hey, let's just write some tests for Compressinator. And now if there's ever a problem with Compressinator, we can probably like formulate a test for it that doesn't mean recompiling Resonate 500 times. Fox says that it's actually a pretty simple library from the little bit that I read. Oh, cool. Maybe it'll take me a little while to understand it and then a longer while to understand Renderite. I know we also had to make some edits, so make sure you're looking at our fork as well. I'm just imagining, and you could do this, it would probably take a lot of effort, but assume your proxy works. You could like write UI that sort of like displays graphically the chunks of data that are going across in like a UI. You know how like the old like defragging UI looked? You could totally do that to sort of visualize the shared memory, visualize the transfer of that like address. That'd be a really cool diagnostic thing that's like hyper-specialized for just this problem. Fox says, yeah, it was fun staring at decompiled source for like 2 hours, trying to do stupid IL patching until I was like, what is CloudToid? And Googled it and realized it was open source. We do want to, I haven't checked the process, like the status of it due to the holiday season, but we were working on getting like a list of packages that we use into the dash, and we can also provide that outside of Resonite as well. There are some licenses that we need to do that to be sort of compliant with the license. But it's also just like a good thing to do. Like always, like the good example of it that I always point to is like even Spotify's app does it. You go to like help about Spotify. No, you go to like hamburger menu, help third party software, and it's there. And it is like the most useless document, but like it's technically required and it might help out with stuff like that. Something I've also thought about doing is, and I would probably automate this somehow, is like syncing to the wiki, like a more user-friendly like table with like maybe the logo and a link to their NuGet package like website, any packages that we do use. Because that might be like useful for this, like debugging, but it also might be useful for people who are like trying to explore the area from a sort of more technical point of view. Like, you know, we say a lot like, hey, we use LNL, and like we frequently link to it, but like, hey, maybe like a wiki page that says like, hey, here's a list of packages that Resonaut uses that are open source. Play with them, contribute to them. They're all great. And then we have like LNL, like front and center there. Someone might go, oh, I'm looking for a library for my upcoming indie game and I'm struggling, you know, to find a library. I'll use LNL or at least take a look at it. And then maybe they come into the Resonaut community and they're like, hey, is there anyone I can talk to about LNL? And everyone will go like, pull up an armchair around this campfire and let us tell you some stories. Jumping around a bit to some comments, Fox says, going back to the wiki, it would be nice to have stuff integrated into the inspectors / flux notes. Yeah, we can't get that sort of reported as tooltips, and I believe like we've even got an issue called tooltips. But like I'm never sure if like tooltips are a good way of doing it. However, shout out to Path of Exile 2 here. They do it in a really nice way. Like could we also do like a flyout, for example, like where there's like a flyout panel that you can appear and like it'll turn on, appear and have like flyout information. I love that sentence. I think I just said like flyout about 5 times in a row. If I turn on on-screen keyboard, I can still type. If I don't have on-screen keyboard, I literally cannot type. Oh yeah. You always have to think about like the holistics of it. I had forgotten. Fruit says it's less about tooltips and more about having data for the tooltips in the first place. We need a system to manage and query all that information, which is a much bigger task than displaying it. Agree. And then they followed up with, like we can show a little piece of UI, but there's thousands and thousands of fields that would need to be written so it can't actually be shown. Yeah. Like VRIK is a good one. Like, could you imagine if we were just like, turn on all tooltips for VRIK component. All right, I've got on-screen keyboard on. I'm trying to see if there's a good example of the Path of Exile tooltips that I was talking about. That's why I opened on-screen keyboard. Yeah, there it is. That's a tiny picture. Gee, not going to be handy at all. Picture for ants. Okay, guess I'll just explain it. We need to like tie it into the, like, I've said this like multiple times. We need to tie the like tooltips data somehow into, if not the actual wiki, the spirit of the wiki. Yeah, where it allows community contributions. The Path of Exile 2 tooltips. I'll try and explain it. So in Path of Exile 2, you can, there's lots of like complex terminology. And you can mouse over some of that terminology because it's got like an underline on it and it will give you a tooltip. But if you like push Alt and click the tooltip, it will pin that tooltip and you can move it around. And then it has something called nested tooltips where you like, you know, you go from, what's a good example? You go from like lightning to electrocute to like lightning damage or whatever. And those can all be tooltips and they can all be pinned if you need them pinned and you can sort of move them around on the UI. It's like, it's really cool. I think Cargo might actually solve all of that. Maybe I'll see if I can like chat with the Path of Exile 2 guys about like their use of Cargo. See if they think it's suitable. Cause I think it like researching it would be a good idea. I'll take a look. It doesn't matter. Not that I've got time to do it right now. Do we have any other questions? We've been talking about basically two questions, which is like, documentation and wiki since the start. It's okay. We can do that. It's just interesting. Oh, we have another Neo Shadow question. When it comes to avatar setup, is there work to make that more user friendly for casual users? Yeah, a bunch. We want to redo the avatar creator at some point, give it like a 2025, 2026 lick of paint. And we also want to change up the avatar builder and the UI around it, but also the UI around like managing avatars and doing things, which comes from sort of the inspector reworking and stuff like that. A good example might be like, we'd probably do something different from the like yellow spheres. We'd probably see if we can like remove or decomplicate things in that rework. Fruits was talking about it on Sunday, how we want to sort of maybe take a more geometric look at your rig rather than a named one. So right now we'll sort of look for things like leg to identify that it's a leg. But if you geometrically look at a bone hierarchy, you can detect that it's a leg because there are two of them and they're connected to the hips. It's almost like probably has a name, but like an X, yeah? Oh, Ages is asking, could it be an optional thing to look for the names if it's geometric based as a method too? Yeah, the two systems could like interact with each other and like fall back on each other or like ask each other for like their opinion. You know, you could even like you probably wouldn't be like this, but you could split it up explicitly. You know, like given this rig, figure out what it looks like geometrically. Given this rig, figure out what it looks like name wise, and then like run some code that sort of like goes between the both of them and sort of goes, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, fingers already do geometry. I need to look into that code more. I know what like it means when Fruk says like we do geometric detection for fingers, but I need to look at the code. Yeah, folding back to the names makes sense. And if there's a problem there, we could throw a toggle on or something in advanced avatar settings, like always use name. Or for anyone who's thinking about the geometry of it, take a look at a hand conveniently approached here. The thumb goes in a completely different direction to the fingers. And that's a like geometric clue. And then think about the ratio as well. Like this little finger is much smaller and it's on the outside. There are other fingers between it and the thumb. And if you can like ideate that sort of thing that we can intuitively figure out because we're humans into code, then you can figure out how to get the bones assigned. Neo Shadows says, I heard there were talks for simple modeling in app. How's that going? Okay, let me answer this twice. Yes, at some point we'll have like modeling tools in app. You can look at that on the GitHub. There'll be a GitHub issue for it. But I'm going to answer it a second way as well. When it's like, when you see the words like I heard, to me it means like you might not be aware of where you can go to find out what our roadmap is or what's on it or what we're working on. Modeling, simple modeling is in there. Like if you want something confirmed, you can go do that work yourself. There's no like secret conversations or anything. Yeah, a couple of people have taken what we already provide and they've made simple modeling tools on top of what we provide. You can sometimes get like quite far with the brushes. Like the first time I showed someone like a campfire with one of the brushes that's like default, they were like, oh, that looks cool. Oh, yeah. And then if you want to just do it by triangles, it's really difficult because you have to like move around all the tries at once. Well, like you have to move around each vertex at once to get the sort of shape that you need. It just has got one. It's quite old, that one is. But yeah, we want more and better tools in there. We also want more procedural tools. So like procedural terrain with procedural like, you know, textures on those terrains, procedural plants, procedural trees. He's actually just adjusting position. Dio is like commenting on how on the sleeping. I don't want to say the word because it'll wake him up. But no, he's just adjusting. He's gone back to sleep. I can reach the keyboard. Can I move my legs, dog? Are you going to let me move my legs? Ow! No, we aren't moving. You stay where you are. If you're ever in a voice chat with me and I go completely silent and don't respond for a bit, chances are this dog has clawed on top of me like this, fallen asleep. And then in response to them falling asleep and their body heat, I've also fallen asleep. Happens every day at least once. All right, do we have any additional questions? Doesn't look like it. So we'll go ahead and leave off here, and I will speak to you guys soon. Or maybe we'll wait a minute, just in case. If you've got a question, I can still take it. Feta bought you an extra sort of minute or two by incapacitating this hand. Oh, it was a praise for all the work that we do. Well, thank you for trying us out. Thank you for supporting us. I see that you're a supporter. And thank you for being patient as well. Your questions were like well reasoned and well thought out, and thank you. I will speak to you guys soon. It looks like the next office hours will be in the new year. I can't remember the exact date. It's something like the 6th or the 7th of January.